The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. I think all my listeners know about Juniper Networks, been around for a while, but I think what they don't know is some of the new things that's coming up with Juniper and how they can help my listeners achieve some of their agency goals. But before we begin, perhaps you'd like to know a little bit about your background. So, Bill, how'd you wind up working for Juniper, please?
Yes, John. Well, first, thanks for having me on your show today. And with regards to the background, how I came about to Juniper, my goodness, it's been a long road. I've been in the technology area within the Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland area for quite some time. And I started as a user of computing and networking technology back in the 80s after coming out of college. Bounced around to a number of organizations and really started to hit my stride in trying to kind of grasp and see where this idea of PC and networking was really going. So I decided to start systems administration and managing networks within those small companies. Moved to the vendor community by joining a company called 3Com Corporation back in the mid-90s.
Your skeezers know that one.
And after my stint there, I was introduced to a company that was basically in startup mode. Had a number of just amazing technical talents that were coming together in one place in Sunnyvale, California. And they had some really great ideas on how to deal with the explosive growth of the internet at that time. So I took a chance, flew out to California, interviewed with those folks. Their technology had not yet come to market yet. But
You got in the ground floor, didn't
you? But it definitely was something that was very interesting to me, and it felt like something that even if it didn't make it, I might be able to have a nice section of my resume dedicated to that.
Well, I've been there almost 20 years, huh?
So yeah, I started in 1998, so just before the release of their first product in '99, just before the IPO of the company, before it went public, and. It's been an absolute roller coaster ever since.
I can remember back 16 years ago, I was reading these books and taking all these online tests and testing, getting certified for this and certified for all kinds of different certifications. And what I'd notice is that I'd look at some network devices, and then I would see this big bump and go, here's the speed for one device, here's the speed for another. Whoa, wait a minute, what's this Juniper? What's this all about? It was a huge gap. I mean, it was a significant, that must have attracted you back then.
Absolutely. You know, I had, coming from the user community, I was actually able to take a look at a number of different vendors' products that provided support for the networking environment. At kind of all levels, whether it be the switching, routing, and security areas within the network infrastructure. And the technology that Juniper was bringing to bear was actually taking some of the strengths from the high-performance computing world and the leading-edge developments in ASIC technology. And trying to marry that with some of the software technology that was prevalent within the industry in networking at that particular point in time. And with the growth projections associated with the internet during the mid to late 90s, the scaling of software-based platforms just wasn't going to keep up. So we needed to see a fresh approach. And there were a number of companies in the market at that time that were trying to find that way of leveraging hardware and software and to scale with that challenge.
Some didn't make it.
Exactly. Yes.
And this is though what's interesting about you is that you put your dollars in the right horse. I mean, I bet on some horses back then and lost a few races in my day. So it was really hard because looking back now, it was obvious that Juniper. No, it wasn't obvious at all. I mean, back when before Google, there were like 20 different search engines out there, and no one knew Google was going to win. And some people were smart, and someone picked the right horse. That was not bad.
Absolutely,
at all.
It's like the perfect storm, if you will. You know, the right idea, the right place, the right time. And with the right customers as well. I mean, I think a focus on the service provider technology or the area at that particular point in time was very important in us gaining that success.
You know, while you have a very radio-friendly name, Bill Lemons is radio-friendly, and Juniper, J-U-N-I-P-E-R, but your website is a .net, so it's J-U-N-I-P-E-R.net. All kinds of information at that site, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. We have... All of the different areas covered, whether it be switching, routing, security, or even the frontiers of automation and SDN as well.
And talking about security, which is a new aspect of your offering, isn't it?
Security has actually been part of our portfolio for quite some time. Mm-hmm. We had a pretty major acquisition back in 2004 that brought us into the security space. With that came a lot of technology and innovations, as well as market relevance in the space. At that time, we were heavily a router-focused company. And shortly after that, we also had some organic growth into the switching space as well.
I was at your website this morning and got this great phrase, this five-word phrase, only the most agile survive. maybe that's why since 1996 till today, Juniper's still been around providing state-of-the-art products. I mean, is that the key, is being agile and looking at the market and floating like a butterfly?
So I'll definitely say that one of the attributes that kind of drove us to success was taking a fresh look at how the concept of managing a network was approached. And taking a little bit more of a programmatic look at how we're going to bring our systems to bear within the environment. And that truly has been one of our strengths. So at the very infancy of the software that kind of runs our various platforms, the Junos operating system, it's the way that we provide a simple and cohesive programmatic configuration to those devices that has kind of given us the strength and has won us a good bit of mind share in the folks that are from that background, that structured programming, programmatic type environment.
Juno sure sounds like a Roman god or an ancient god. So I'm going to go back to ancient times. Back in Babylon, one of the wonders of the world, they had a walled city. The city is about three times as big as Washington, D.C. The walls were 80 foot thick and 30 stories high. So obviously they thought they could build a wall and protect themselves against attacks.
Yes.
And so let's apply this to the federal government. I think there are people who are listening that want to build these huge, big firewalls and think that's going to prevent them from attacks. Well, it's a lot more dynamic and agile than just a firewall or a big wall surrounding your agency, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that was a perfect segue into kind of the way the landscape of not only just defending a city, defending forces. Not only have we seen a change in that environment, but also just the surface area and the way that attacks are being placed on the network itself. The concept of perimeter security is one that is very prevalent in many different verticals. Federal is just one of them. But I think what we need to do now and into the future is to take a much different approach at how we look at security as a whole. And perimeter security is just a concept that doesn't quite meet the needs of today's attack landscape.
If we take a look at agile and scalability and look at clouds and hybrid clouds, I mean, the whole concept of building a wall, what are you going to build a wall around? I mean, it's going to change every few hours. It's what do you build it around?
Absolutely. The prevalence of mobile devices in the workplace now, the move of workloads to the cloud, the proliferation of bring your own device, all of those change the way that threats can be introduced to your environment. So it calls for a change in how we focus on network security.
Hey, we come back. Let's talk about maybe some of the security patents that Juniper Networks actually has. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. And we've been talking about, in general, about networks, some of the challenges that people have, the success that Juniper has had over the years. And if you want to get more information, it's juniper.net for more information and all kinds of articles there. I was mentioned earlier, I saw an article, it was a blog post you had there called Public Cloud Success Pivots on the Right Architecture. So maybe we'll talk a little about architecture. And whenever I get people in talking about enterprise architecture, they bring in these charts that take up a whole wall and it's in like 6-point type and I get a magnifying and they have all these arrows and flow charts. It gets kind of confusing. So where does this concept of architecture fit in for my listeners?
Yeah, so we have a couple of concepts that are pretty universal and can be described at a high level, but also go to that level of specificity that you talked about as well. One of those is the metafabric architecture. I believe you mentioned that in our last segment. The metafabric architecture is actually our reference design for how to build out the modern data center. We also have an architecture that focuses on the cloud-enabled enterprise, and we call that architecture the Unite architecture. So that basically describes how we can build an open, simple, and agile network for the enterprise that takes into consideration the requirements of the cloud.
So you got to be agile. You got to maybe include some automation in there. And it also has to be simple. So this is like, I want a 300-pound lineman that can run a 4440. I mean, this is a tough demand here, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And the demand is coming from our customer base. And that is actually universal. Everyone needs to do more with less. So we want to help provide an infrastructure that brings the simplicity to the user, right? It's all about the operational experience. And if you can take the concepts that are relatively complex at their nature and provide enough levels of abstraction, similar to what's been done in the programming environment, you do that same thing with networking and you can create an infrastructure that is easy to manage. And you can manage a larger infrastructure with a smaller number of people.
You know, in software development, they kind of talk about agile software development and being flexible. But I think in the world you live in, you can't be anything but agile with the dynamic nature of the amount of information that flows in and flows out. I mean, 6 months ago, I used the word zettabyte on the air. I never thought I'd use even the word petabyte, but so much information, you have to be scaling. And so your architecture has to take in account future ups and downs and different types of surges of information, don't you?
Well, information moves at a much different pace than it did in the past. So we need all of the systems associated with IT, whether it be the server platforms, the applications, or the networks that provide access to those applications, to move at the speed of the information that's surrounding it as well. So you need to be able to take those concepts universally across the entire landscape. So there's no reason why networking can't be a component of that agile environment.
Last week, I was talking to some folks over at the Department of Justice. No, I'm not getting arrested or anything. Talking about technology. So let's say we have a listener, Joe Schmo, over at DOJ, and they have to move something to the cloud. Okay. Where do you fit in? Where can you help them in that transition?
So we provide infrastructure both at the campus location that can give the individual user access to those applications, whether they reside in their own data centers, hybrid data centers, or even cloud data centers. And then we also provide the conduit and wide area networking components that can connect to the cloud itself And then probably one of the more crucial components of that is the ability to secure that infrastructure as well.
My wife is a Latin teacher, so I'm permitted to use big fancy words. So I'm going to use a big fancy word here, disaggregating. And there's a term that I found on your website, disaggregating for data center innovation. So how do you apply that word for data center integration, disaggregating?
Disaggregation. So that's definitely a term that we took to heart at the end of last year. And we've actually been doing work on this for quite some time. But basically, in the networking industry, there's certain aspects of the components that are becoming somewhat commoditized. And I'd say that probably the most prevalent area that that's in is in the switching infrastructure. A lot of merchant silicon being used to build the platforms upon which switching systems are created. So what we've actually done is we've always had a focus on systems development. So making sure that we marry our hardware components to a very robust software architecture as well. But with the commoditization of that hardware, we found the need to basically provide a level of abstraction between the software component and the hardware systems they run on as well. So as the hardware systems become more common, the differentiator is in the software component itself. So we have basically created a disaggregated version of Junos, which relies on a hardware abstraction layer to interface with the hardware itself. So this way you can leverage our ease of use and automatable operating system on top of hardware that we can deliver or potentially even third-party hardware as well.
And extends to the virtualized world as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. As you look at the landscape of how we need to provide network components to the various areas of our networks or our application delivery environments, because at the end of the day, it's all about getting the application delivered to its users. We're just the plumbing that gets it done. I don't want to trivialize it because it is an important thing and it has to be done with performance and scale and flexibility. But in essence, it's just a part of that puzzle. So you need to be able to, especially as advances in virtualization technology and the use of x86 hardware becomes more prevalent in the industry, you want to actually provide those functions and capabilities on hardware platforms such as that. So we're actually leveraging network functions such as routing capabilities and security products in a virtualized form factor.
Well, Bill, you're very humble. You say we're just a plumber, but you may be a plumber, but your company has, the number is 2,926 network security-related patents. So you're a plumber with 3,000 patents. You're packing something in that truck when it comes out to help, don't you?
Yeah. So actually, the company is very focused on innovation, and those patents not only focus on the security space, but also the routing innovations and actually hardware development capabilities as well. As you may know, we build custom silicon as well. So we're not just leveraging technology that exists on the general market. We actually have hardware engineers that spin up and create hardware itself that is focused, laser focused on networking technologies. So the patents span all of those areas, including the security space as well.
I'm on Twitter all the time. My handle is at Ray Gilray, believe it or not, and your handle is at Juniper Federal to find out what's going on. And you occasionally speak at conferences, don't you, Bill?
Yes, I've had the fortune of being able to speak at a number of AFSIA events, most recently the AFSIA Air Show down in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke about some security concerns in the air domain.
What's interesting is that many of my listeners may attend these events, and they see vendor booths, they see vendor tables with a little sign there that says Juniper or something. And what I want to be able to do is to listen to you here and go, yeah, that Bill sounds like a knowledgeable guy, and not be afraid to walk up to some Juniper person and go, hey, look, is Bill floating around anywhere? I mean, that's all we want is so they can get, maybe you can explain, just explain two of these patents to me, Bill, just two out of the 3,000.
So we actually do attend those events, whether they be Juniper booths themselves or booths with our partners as well. And whether it's myself or members of my team, I have a group of engineers that are focused on the Intel space, the DoD space, and the civilian space that provide technical capabilities and support to all of those shows.
Let's take a break, talk more about Juniper Networks. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. For more information, you can go to juniper.net. and get all kinds of information and back and forth. You can follow him on Twitter pretty easily as well. Find out where he's speaking. You know, I was in California for a race about 2 weeks ago, and I always sit next to people on the plane, and sometimes I have a chat with them, some they don't. If I sat next to you on a plane, Bill, and I said, well, what company do you work for? And you go, Juniper Networks. And I go, well, that's fascinating. What is your differentiator? Why are you different from the other vendors out there, Bill? And your answer would be...
So Juniper prides itself on network innovation and truly driving the lead in performance, scale, and reliability. Our heritage being in support of some of the largest, if not the largest, service providers in the world that has really given us the pedigree to be able to produce systems that truly can withstand the tests of virtually any network. So that's really one of the foundational pillars, I think, of the company. And we try and extend that same capability from our kind of core products in the routing space through the innovations that we brought to bear in the switching space and also security environment as well.
Let me ask about some tools, but first of all, it's hard for me to keep up with technology. I'm trying to keep up with so many different fields. How do you do it? I mean, how do you keep up with what's going on? Are there podcasts listened to? There's blogs you read? There are books? Or how do you keep up with all this stuff, Bill?
So we have a rather robust community within the company that keeps on the heartbeat of all of the areas of technology, whether it be the IETF or IEEE. So I lean on the technology partners I have within the company, as well as when I take a look for federal information. I look at a number of feeds that are provided, Federal Computer Weekly and other just generic blogs and newsreader kind of feeds of that type of information. I've kind of gone completely to a digital information collection mode. Don't really read the paper much anymore. I usually do that in digital form on my smartphone or on my tablet, and use applications like Flipboard that allow me to subscribe to various subject matter areas, and it feeds the information to me in a nice consumable format.
This morning I went in my garage and hit the open, and bang, had a bolt come off the door. It raised up, and I'm like, oh no, I'm have to go back tonight and fix it. So what I'll do is come back tonight and I'll look in my garage for my toolbox. And I'll probably pull out a couple tools. May have to go up to a hardware store, which I can walk to from my house, been around for 100 years. And fix it. So I have tools, and network managers have tools too, don't they? Data center managers have tools. What kind of
Absolutely.
Tools do you have that can make the listeners of my radio show here make their lives easier?
Okay. So in extending the concept on architectures, I talked about a couple of tenets there. One being a focus on simplicity, doing more with less. That's one of the things that leads us into a discussion on automation and the concepts of SDN. So the cloud-enabled enterprise architecture that we have, Unite, has a component of it which is actually a vision on security, and that concept is called the software-defined secure network. So it's a step beyond kind of taking that idea of perimeter security and the idea that perimeter security assumes, which is you trust what's inside, you don't trust what's on the outside. And it kind of throws a curve on that and almost creates what you'd call a zero trust model. You don't know necessarily what's on the inside. So you want to make sure that when you take a look at the information that's flowing across your network, you look at it from all aspects, from the outside as well as from within. Also, as networking technology has improved over the years, each component in the network has grown in capability that supports security in some fashion. And largely, that's been a component that is managed separately from the security policies that you would put on your perimeter firewalls. So the vision of SDSN is to take a look at all of those components scattered throughout your entire network and try and leverage the security capabilities that they already possess, and then potentially even augment them with additional capabilities so that instead of just perimeter security, every step along the path of data within your network has security capabilities around it, and they work in a coordinated fashion. Whether that's providing analytics or telemetry with regards to how your data is moving through the network, whether it's identifying the threats and patterns that you see by interrogating the data as it moves through the network, or taking files that come in and determining whether or not those files contain malicious information by putting them in a sandbox environment and leveraging some processing capability to essentially give you detection capabilities that will augment your understanding of how your network is operating. Once you bring all of those pieces together, you then have kind of an ecosystem of threat intelligence moving through your network. You drive that through a common engine that can collect that in one location so that you can mine that data for additional discoveries and information. And then use a policy engine to then incite policy inquiries on the system so that they can respond to the threats that they see or that bubble to the top.
So is that what you call your services activation director? Is that what you just described?
So services activation director is one of the components that we have for bringing to bear services within our network management suite. The device that runs on is called Genospace. It's a management framework, if you will. And you can consider the idea that we have kind of an app store, Services Activation Director being one of the apps that you can run on that space appliance. Some of the others include Network Director, which manages our switching infrastructure, Security Director, which manages our security products.
We talked about automation, just touched on it. When I get cybersecurity professionals in the studio and we talk about automation, it seems to be a double-edged sword, and what many of them like is the automation, but then sometimes the programmed reaction is not good enough. They want to be able to respond. So what are the strengths and weaknesses of automation? Are there weaknesses inherent in network automation as well?
Well, I think one of the weaknesses in automation is it can't be thought of as a side task. I think you need to bring the same level of discipline that you do to developing full-blown applications to the automation task itself. And if you come at it with clear requirements, clear goals, and you use that programmatic discipline when putting automation to work for you, it's something that you can leverage and leverage very reliably moving forward.
So what about scalability and how, you know, it seems to me that it'd be difficult to design or architect a system that can be easily scalable because you can't really predict what's going to happen the next 6 or 8 months. It's have to maybe do some guessing or projecting what's going to happen. And let's take a little break here, talk more about maybe projecting into the future, what's going to happen in the future of the network. What about this idea of scalability? And what about the new product that can come up? And how do you handle new types of mobile devices and maybe virtual devices? We really don't know, but there's got to be some way to build in that into future networks, which is a mystery to me, but you'll solve the mystery after this break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Bill Lemons, Director, Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. I am on Twitter all the time. What is your company's Twitter handle, Bill?
It is at Juniper Federal.
Easy to spell. That's no problem at all. That's great. We've been talking about all kinds of different topics and aspects about networking, and you've thrown out some big fancy words like disaggregation and all kinds of impress people all over the place. And maybe I even use the word orchestration, and that's all going to impress somebody. Some people under the assumption that you're a card-carrying nerd. What I have come up with is a scientific 10-question test that'll find out if, in fact, you are a card-carrying nerd. Are you ready for the test, young man?
Let's go.
Okay, number one, do you have an Instagram account?
I do, but it's a personal one to follow
my
kids.
That's fine. How many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
Just one.
See, it's got to be 3 or 4. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Okay. Do you have a Snapchat account?
I do not.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. And what was the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
It kind of varies between Flipboard and Pandora.
That's interesting. So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do we see floating around there?
Only a couple.
Thinking fast here. When was your most recent post in social networking?
Probably within the last week. Not the last day.
And I can't see your arm from here.
I do.
Did you order your Apple Watch? Or?
Had it for a year plus.
Whoa! He suddenly snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. He raises way up there. And the last question, the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
Okay. Whew. I thought you were weak there for a while, but you came, you finished up strong, just like in the Olympics in Rio. Some of the, like Usain Bolt, he finished up real strong. So you finished up pretty strong in that. No, but your company's been around since 1996. I think you bet on the company in 98-99. It was a good bet. So we're going to look at your prognosticating ability and say, okay, big guy, 10 years from now, we're going to do a carbon tablet here, maybe granite, and write down these predictions and dig it up and see what's going on. So where do you see the whole world of networking going for the federal government here in the next 5-7 years?
Wow. Let's see. I'm seeing three attributes that are going to be pretty prevalent for the networks of the future. It's going to be simple. It's going to be agile. And for all of those things to come to bear, it's got to be open. So whether you're looking at virtual services in the cloud, to hardware-based services, the way to provision and manage those things, as well as the expectations that you have of those capabilities, are going to be seamless from bottom to top. The standards piece of it is, I think, absolutely key. We do a lot of great things, but we know we don't have the portfolio to meet the needs of every aspect of the IT world. So we know that we just need to do what we do best and make it as interoperable as possible with others that are doing exactly the same thing in their space. And we want to make sure that customers have the ability to make those decisions, to choose those best of breed partners and bring it together in a seamless and interoperable fashion. Lastly, the simplicity, the high level orchestration that focuses on mission, agility, and delivering applications to the end user is going to be how networks or IT services are delivered in the future. And it needs to be an incredibly seamless and simple activity for that to be a resource that can be leveraged in the future.
Well, my three words for the future of networking, the three words are faster, flatter, and open. Yesterday, I was on the phone with some folks at the Executive Office of the President. And if you go to their website, you see the word open all over the place. Open software, open. And everyone has a different definition of that. So what's open to you?
Open. Open is something that has been at the core of Juniper's innovations from day one. And that is the ability to not only deliver exceptional capabilities, but do so in a way that allows integration to other platforms, other vendors, other systems. So whether it's implementing a protocol in a standard enough way so that that same protocol by a vendor works seamlessly with ours, or the service that we're trying to deliver complements directly the capabilities of a partner's ecosystem or capabilities as well. That's what I consider open.
So does that mean you're confident enough to be able to interoperate with other systems and not be threatened by them? You know, there's some people that want to keep that cards close to the vest.
There are a number of vendors in that kind of position, and we've never been afraid. We're a challenger in the market. We've had some great successes, and we feel we've got a lot of great things to bring to bear in support of everyone's mission and objectives. But working alongside of other vendors' technology is nothing that we shy away from. We do that on a daily basis, and I believe we'll continue to do that into the future.
I was reviewing our notes for this conversation, a lot of technical topics. We didn't talk about one key aspect of this is the human beings. I mean, humans are going to be inside a data center and changing, and cultural adoption, you know, that really has to play some kind of role in this whole idea. I mean, if you're sitting out at Department of Interior and making a transition and putting changing your data center, I mean, the humans have to be able to accept some of this technology as well, and that has to be part of your the information you provide to prospective clients, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's when I talk about the crystal ball of simplicity, that goes right in line with what you're talking about. It's making sure that whatever complexity there is in the networking components and how they are put together, that we provide layers of abstraction, whether that be in management tools or orchestration systems or the ability to leverage automation to make that task easier for the end user to consume and potentially even reach a point. One of the other things I think that's going to be very prevalent in the network of the future is X as a service, things as a service, networking as a service, application delivery as a service, all of those types of things. Again, making the resources that you need to bring to bear to solve a challenge or deliver a mission, they can focus on that objective and that objective alone. All of the other pieces get out of their way, because really, at the end of the day, that's why those people are put in those positions, is to deliver the capability to the agency, to the organization, or to the mission itself. And we need to, it's an onus on all of us as vendors to provide a simplistic environment to operate in so that it doesn't become an undue burden on them.
About 3 weeks ago, we had a gentleman from the GAO sitting right there. He talked about going in and doing audits. And many times they start off with an assessment. Are there tools from your website that someone can download, maybe get a quick snapshot or assessment of where they stand, something that's easy or something?
So that's definitely something that that we in the federal group are very focused on. We actually have an organization headquartered here in the Herndon area that focuses completely on the certification efforts and the ability to provide guidance and discovery as to how our products meet the compliance goals and regulatory requirements of the federal space. So it's a very important aspect of how we do business with our federal customer base, and something that we very much focus on.
So if they have assessing questions, they can contact you with just general questions. If you're at events, you can ask questions about maybe compliance and not have to worry about anybody twisting their arm and forcing them anything. This is too complex a problem to solve with any kind of a pushy know-it-all attitude, is it?
Exactly. We have to be as open and transparent as possible in that space. Absolutely.
Open and transparent. Boy, that sounds like a good theme for this show. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we spoke to Bill Lemons, Director of Federal Systems Engineering at Juniper Networks. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.